Okay, we'll get started here. Okay, and make sure you have your notepad ready and your highlighter and your pen. Okay, and today is Friday, March 18th. And we'll be doing some reading first of all. We're warming up out of 2 Samuel. And then when we go to Matthew chapter 5, we'll be reading some more things there. So let's read 2 Samuel chapter 5. Let's explore some things here as the gathering of the tribes together to appoint a new steward, okay, seeing that the first stewardship, that is of Saul, okay, now Saul fell away from the Lord because of his own ambition, but we can see that David was appointed by God as a second ram, okay, according to the book of Enoch. There were two rams, that the first ram would persecute the second ram, and David's that second ram. At this time, David is now being established as the new stewardship over Israel. That which King Saul tried to achieve through his aspiration failed. Okay, but that which David does now, according to the revelation of his grace, which was confirmed or granted through the lips of Samuel the seer, okay, David is now observing the open confirmation, okay, of this revelation, being appointed now the second ram or the second king, okay, binding the tribes together by the anointing. And that's what God's doing today, binding those which have been separated together under the bundle of this one anointing. So he is now considered as the good shepherd. Okay, the good shepherd. Now, this is what Jesus was speaking about concerning his appointment being the first eighth week. And the good shepherd that would bridge that, which is that first covenant, into his record, being the second covenant, and also removing it from the establishment of an earthly kingdom to a heavenly kingdom. So we see this here, okay, in 2 Samuel chapter 5. So in 2 Samuel chapter 5, everybody should be there now. Let's read on here. Okay, so we see the bonding of the stewardship, that which God has initiated here in the fifth week of David. God also initiated in the first eighth week, and regarding the transition to Jesus' record, okay, to second covenant, okay, which God is establishing today after 2,000 years of darkness in the church. God again is bringing his correction, okay, the rod and the branch of his planting. Okay, the rod and the branch of his planting has to do with that which is establishing now a new stewardship. Okay, so we read here now, in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus talked about being the good shepherd. And as being the good shepherd, he would, okay, lead his sheep in and out, that they would have access in and out, which means the in has to do with the corral of protection. And out has to do with the festivity of this fruit, that the sheep would be led out into the hills and graze, okay, and also by grazing, they'd be fed and kept healthy. Okay, but they would also be in a place of refuge for their protection from the wolf. Okay, and this is what the stewardship does and officiates. Okay, the overseeing of the leading of the sheep. They lead them in and out. So here we have 2 Samuel chapter 5. We're going to go through the 25 verses right here. Then we'll be going over to Matthew chapter 5. Okay, so in 2 Samuel chapter 5, we'll be also in Matthew chapter 5. But in 2 Samuel chapter 5, we read these things. Then came all the tribes. So I highlighted the word all. Okay, you can do the same thing. Get your highlighter there. Okay, and you can use your pink or yellow highlighter and highlight the word all there. Then came all the tribes of Israel. Okay, and all the tribes, to this point in time, they were more or less functioning independently. Okay, they were functioning independently, even though King Saul would plunder and would select, okay, the best of the best from each of the tribes for the purpose of his own accumulation, his aspiration, which of course we'll see completely fell apart in the very end. Okay, the ministry of aspiration will fall apart. Okay, they will be defeated. So we can see all the tribes now gathering together. So we see all the 12 tribes or the independent ministries. You could put independent ministries. All the rivers run into one ocean. Okay, the rivers run to the ocean. Okay, for the purpose of showing also a bonding. Then came all the tribes of Israel, which means the independent ministries of faith. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David and to Hebron. okay, which is a central location. Now, this was, they gathered together for the purpose of announcing and a confirmation of him. They came to David unto Hebron and spoke, saying, Behold, we are your bone and flesh. Okay, we are your bone and flesh. We are really of one fold. In other words, we are all of one house and one seed, even as this is what Adam said to Eve, Behold, my flesh and my bone. Okay, so as Adam identified Eve being that which is separated from him but then joined to him, we can see that David also oversaw the same thing. Okay, though we are separated from each other, yet we are all one blood. So even though we are also separated in the second eighth week, okay, whether distance or family, yet we are all one bone and one flesh. Okay, regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are all of one house. We all have one Father. Okay, also in time past, when Saul was king over us, you notice that their particular reflection right here was rather negative about Saul. So, and also in time past, when Saul was king over us, that means he tried to unite us by the aspiration, but you were the one that was laboring to feed and protect us under the anointing. Okay, under the anointing. The true bonding is under the anointing. The false bonding is in the aspiration. Now, the false religious system is trying to achieve a bonding today. Okay, but that bonding which you're trying to achieve is by the aspiration of each individual. Okay, and by the aspiration of each individual, there will be no true bonding. In other words, they will jostle against each other in order to try to achieve the boasting of each other's light. Okay, but in the second eighth week, the light in which we are gathering around is only that of Christ. That's the true anointing. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were he that led out and brought in. So you see the word out and in. Okay, out and in. Okay, you were he that went out for the purpose of establishing these boundaries. And you also were the one that protected and fed our people. You know, so you led out and brought in. And that's exactly what Jesus is speaking about as being the true shepherd. The true shepherd cares for the sheep. But the hireling, as Saul, he really didn't care for the sheep. He cared for his own self-interests. Okay, as we see the independent ministries today, it's self-interest. Okay, you were he that brought in and out Israel. And the Lord said to you, now how do they know that? Because through the ministry of Samuel, and the Lord said unto you, You shall feed my people Israel. You as one person. Okay, one person and one diet. One diet which means not the smorgasbord of the philosophies of this world. And of course, we'll be talking about that in Matthew 5. Not the smorgasbord of the philosophies of the world, because what is either yea or nay, for whatsoever is more is of evil, okay, or the philosophy of this world. So you fed my people Israel, and you shall be a captain over Israel, as Jesus is the captain of our salvation. So those that want autonomy from your stewardship are considered as strangers and foreigners to the covenant. And we see the same thing today. Okay, so we see a history repeating itself. Okay, that which is of the fifth week of David, to that which is also the first eighth week of Jesus and the apostles, and that which is now the second eighth week, okay, which is unfolding now. Okay, those which want autonomy from the stewardship are considered as strangers to the covenant. Okay, so all the elders of Israel, verse 3, they came to the king, which is now the shepherd, and one fold here at Hebron. And King David made a league and agreement with them in Hebron before the Lord. Okay, in other words, it was the Lord that officiated this, and it was the Lord that sanctified this, because it was before the Lord. Okay, before the eye of the angel, which was David's anointing. And they anointed David king over Israel, as confirming his stewardship. Because they also had dreams and he also had visions in regarding David. Okay, just like Aaron had a vision of Moses. Okay, Aaron had a vision of Moses and went out to greet Moses and just share with him the things that were transpiring in Egypt. So Aaron met Moses. He confirmed Moses. Moses confirmed Aaron. Moses put into Aaron's mouth all the revelations which God had unfolded to him. And Moses became Aaron's stewardship, and Aaron became Moses's prophet. Okay, that means the voice of confirmation, as John also, John the Baptist, okay, was the prophet that pointed to the stewardship, the new stewardship of Jesus Christ, okay, the new record. So Aaron was Moses's prophet. He pointed to Moses as concerning a new law, and a new stewardship was being introduced, which was different to that of the patriarchs. Now David was 30 years old when he began to reign, even as Jesus was 30 years old. Now we see this in Luke chapter 3, verse 23. Okay, so we see a parallel here. So David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in his totality, okay, of his position of stewardship. He reigned 40 years with victories and trials. And we also rule with Christ, okay, through the cycles of our growth, through victories and through trials. Now we can read about these victories and these trials, okay, and we say victory is talking about as overcoming the conflict of these waters. Okay, the waters are the enemies. Okay, that which is of the waters, that which is birthed within the waters, is the enemy of that which is of the fire. Okay, which is that which is things of above, the things of the spirit. Okay, so those things which are born in the waters are as the ox and the sheep and the goat. Okay, that which is of ignorance, but that which is born of the fire is that which is of innocence, okay, of knowledge and discernment. Okay, that when I say of discernment, those things which we approve as being excellent, wholesome, and life-giving. So David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. So it's highlight the word 30 years and 40 years. So the 30 years was a mark of beginning. Yes, Jesus' ministry, and also 40 years, because number 40 also, okay, indicates that which is the trial, a victory in trials. Now in Hebron, he reigned over Judah for 7 years. Cite the word seven, which has to do with that which is the seventh son of Jesse, okay, the youngest. So the elder shall serve the younger, and his brothers became servants to their youngest brother David, as the patriarchs also bowed the knee to Joseph. We can see that David's elder brothers bowed the knee to him. So the elder shall serve the younger, as John the Baptist says, he that came after me is also considered before me. Okay, so he that follows after me is really Lord of all, but yet is younger than I am. So therefore I, as the elder brother, shall bow the knee to that which is the younger brother, Jesus of Nazareth. So John says, I have need to be baptized of you, and come you to me. And Jesus, being the younger, was actually the elder, and he says, suffer it to be so for us to fulfill all righteousness. Okay, John, this is now in conclusion of that of the Old Testament prophets, and now in the beginning of a new covenant, okay, where prophets will be that which is of charity. So David was 30 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years. Now in Hebron, he reigned for 7 years, which is number 7, which shows the number of the stewardship, and 6 months, which has to do with the number 6, which has to do with that which is of the flesh and earthly, being the Son of Man. Can we see that which is a 7, which is that which is the divine, and also number 6, which has to do with that which is the earthly. And Jesus identify himself as a Son of Man, as a Son of Joseph, as a Son of God, being that which is the Messiah. All right, and he goes on here. Now, Jerusalem reigned for 33 years. Okay, over all Israel and Judah, which is a total of 40, as Jesus also entered into his lot, being about 30 years of age. And then he was led out into the wilderness. Now, how long was Jesus in the wilderness? Yes, Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, victory and trials, being tested and overcame, to set a record for our faith to be tested and overcome. Okay, verse 6, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem. The first thing to do is establish a reference point or a hub. So this is what David did. He established an earthly kingdom. He used Jerusalem as a reference point or a hub for all the other tribes. And that's why he brought the ark there. He brought the ark there because David understood the connection of the Melchizedek priesthood. When Melchizedek met Abraham, David was going to bring the ark to Jerusalem. Okay, as concerning a priesthood and a stewardship. Okay, the priesthood was to be that which is the sanctification, to labor with that anointing which is upon the stewardship, as also Melchizedek made Abraham after the slaughter of the kings. So the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites. Sorry, there were Jebusites there. Okay, the Jebusites were the intruders. They established their presence there, but was unsanctified. But by an agreement with the other tribes, okay, the tribes of Israel and with Joshua, okay, they were allowed to remain present there, even though it was in the tribe of Benjamin. They established a presence there. And David says, I must eradicate first that which is defiled for God to sanctify this place. Okay, so David now was going to change the rules, okay, because the anointing was upon him. And Jesus also changed the rules. Jesus changed the rules of engagement, and we'll be reading about that in Matthew 5, where Jesus says, "But now I say unto thee," which means I'm now changing the rules of engagement. That which Moses gave you is no longer retroactive. Okay, that which I'm providing for you now is going to be initiated and sustained by the angel of the Lord. So the king and his men went to Jerusalem and the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land. They established their presence as vagrants. In other words, they put up the tent on your property, okay, as vagrants, and after a long period of time, they began to homestead there. Okay, now we can see these things were done even throughout history. Well, being there for any long period of time, become a small town. From a town, they would establish a form of government. Okay, and that form of government, they want to now protect what they feel that they have achieved for their own refuge, peace and security. Okay, and this is what Satan did. Satan is a vagrant, came in this dimension, established his presence, and then he homesteaded. He's homesteaded on that which belongs to God, because the Lord testified himself, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Okay, all souls belong to God. But Satan was a vagrant. He established his presence down here unlawfully. And of course, we can see that the Lord will affirm again that he's a vagrant when he casts them out. Okay, he cast them out of the first heaven into the earth. And we see that in the book of Revelation. Okay, that Satan is going to lose the seat of his government, okay, his vagrancy. Okay, except you take away the blind and lame. So we're now here in verse 6. And the kings and the men went to Jerusalem, the Jebusites, and of course they confronted them. They went to the court of the Jebusites. They spoke to the established government of the Jebusites, and the Jebusites mocked David. They looked at David as being the vagrant, as being the unclean, and being the unappointed. And they were looking at themselves, okay, as the true inheritors of this land. Okay, so they were claiming Jerusalem as the Palestinians want to do today. Okay, the Palestinians want to claim Jerusalem as their true inheritance. And the Jews were establishing Jerusalem as their inheritance. So you see the conflict in the Middle East and why the beast or the Antichrist is going to make certain allowances, okay, for the presence of the Gentiles and the Jews to dwell together and divide Jerusalem up into thirds. Okay, so the king and his men went to Jerusalem and the Jebusites and the inhabitants of the land, being the inhabitants of the land, which was given to them by promise of the watchers. Now they spoke to David in a form of mockery, and they affronted him there to his own embarrassment. They affronted the anointed one, the anointing of the stewardship. Now when you affront the anointing of the stewardship, okay, you can say God is now going to remove you. And this is what John the Baptist said, okay, that the axe is laid to the root of the trees. And Jesus said the same thing. The watchers planted themselves, and God is going to pluck up these weeds, and he's going to plant you there. The earth is mine, not theirs. Okay, the earth is God's. It's not Russia's. It's not China's. It's not the Europeans. Okay, it's God's. God owns the earth. It's the sinners that took ownership of it. They established the borders of it. They set up their own government of it, okay, as vagrants. Okay, and then by taking ownership, they utilized the minerals of that for their own peace and security, and then began to fight and expand against each other. Okay, that's the history of this world. The history of this world is very violent, okay, because they refused the memorial of God, which has to do with that which is the promise of his bosom, okay, to that which is earthly. So they removed that which is the promise of the fire and the flame to that which is the waters, okay, of this earth. That's why we see in the book of Revelation that this great angel stood on the land, 1 foot of fire on the land, and 1 foot of fire on the sea. He was the mediator and the bridge, showing that which is earthly, and he swore by that which is heavenly. He was the tether that was going to bring change and correction by that which is the seven thunders uttered. Now, except you take away the blind and the lame, I'm verse 6 here, you shall not come in here. In other words, by these terms, you must watch over these defiled beasts, because you're unclean to possess the city. That's what they're saying to David. Okay, so you shall not come here. Okay, that means based on previous revelations 400 years ago. Based on previous revelations 400 years ago. But now the revelation has changed. Okay, that which was provided for you is going to change now, you Jebusites, because the anointing is upon this stewardship, thinking that David cannot come in there. See, that says it right there, thinking that David cannot come in there. Well, what happened here? Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, which he renamed that the city of David. Okay, he renamed that which is under his stewardship. Okay, not that which is of the fallen watchers, but that which is under his stewardship. Because the fallen watchers also renamed the Mount of Transfiguration. Okay, the Mount of Transfiguration was Mount Hermon, okay, also known as Hermon. Okay, and the fallen watchers established Mount Hermon as Mount Zion on earth in order to relate and to reflect. Okay, in order to relate and to reflect that which is the oath of the Lord. But they untethered themselves from the oath of the Lord and stood against his word. And they established their presence down here as the gods of this world. Okay, trying to replace Adamites. Which God, of course, initiated the flood in order to wipe out their memorial. And he was successful in doing that. Because the only memorial of the watchers for thousands of years was cities of ruin. And God flooded all the plain areas, the plains where the fallen watchers had established the great cities and their presence and their technologies. God flooded those areas. Okay, and so that which was of dry land became floods, and that which was of the areas of waters, God made dry land. Okay, God reversed everything, destroyed their memorial, established the presence of Noah, an Adamite, and it's any testimony with him. So when David said on that day here, okay, so he renamed these things to bear two powers, the stewardship and the priesthood. Now look at verse 8. Now David said on that day, whosoever gets up to the gutter and smites the Jebusites, these unbelievers who are as defiled beasts, and smites the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David, David's soul, which means we only can offer unto God that which is pure. And these Jebusites are calling us as the impure, when they're the impure. Okay, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, okay, those that are defiled should not build your house, so the blind and lame should not come into your house, into the house. That means if we're going to be one fold, okay, we can't be one fold with the defiled conscience. Okay, the defiled conscience cannot be one fold with the pure conscience. So all the enemies of David being the defiled conscience must be removed in order to establish the Son of God. That's why Jesus, when he comes back, is going to establish Jerusalem again as the hub, and the sons of Zadok as the priesthood. We see how this unfolds in the book of Ezekiel. So David dwelt in the fort, and he renamed it now, and he called it the City of David, which means my house. Now David built round about from there, which means he expanded his borders to overflow, and even inward, because it expanded beyond his present limits as God prospered his faith. This is what the Apostle John spoke about. You prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the overflowing of his grace would continue to be that. It would overflow and it would water all other plants. Okay, as that which is a tree planted by the waters. Psalms 1. So we see Psalms 1 fulfilled. Okay, now we go on here. Now David went on and prospering his faith and grew great. That's prospering your faith. You also grow great in the Lord, prospering your faith. And the Lord God of hosts was with him. That's to multiply by the anointing or mating with grace. So keep that in mind. We mate with grace to increase the house of God. When the soul increases, so does the house of God. Now Hiram, which is a Gentile, Hiram king of Tyre, sent messengers to David in confirmation with gifts, cedar trees and carpenters, masons, and they built David a house. Now we see both the Jew and the Gentile being of one faith. We also see that transpired on from the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, the promise was to the Jews to carry this message unto the Gentiles, and it was fulfilled, as Isaiah the prophet spoke about. Okay, and also Psalms. The book of Psalms brings it out where it says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, rejoice, you nations with this people." So David perceived, because he reflected and he discerned by the signs and these witnesses, that God had indeed established him king over Israel. So he perceived that the Lord established him over king over Israel, okay, that grace. And that he, God, okay, had exalted his kingdom, that he fulfilled all of David's words by Samuel, and that he exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. Verse 13. Now David, at this point of time, was going to increase. And he took him more wives or more concubines and wives. These were tokens for birthing and increasing his house. Now, these were physical tokens. We work with spiritual tokens. Okay, the tokens are gifts of God, which he's provided for us as a purpose of interbreeding. Okay, interbreeding, which means, okay, we mate with grace. Okay, we mate with that which was strange to us. Okay, but now is that which is of the same house. Okay, we were strangers to the covenant, but now we're no longer strangers. Now David took him wives and more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem, okay, replacing the defiled unclean Jebusites, after he had come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born in him by these living tokens to expand his house. Now these be the names of those that were born in him in Jerusalem, both good and bad. There is Shemua and Shobab and Nathan and Solomon. Now Nathan was the son of David. Okay, he was also a prophet of the Lord, and Solomon, of course, became the next king. So we see prophet and king. There's also Ibhar also, and Elishua, and Nephig, and Japhia, and Elishama, and Eliada, and Eliphelet. Okay, there are 11 of them. Now when the Philistines, those which opposed David's, of course, stewardship, the being sinners, when they heard and got tidings of this, that they anointed David king over Israel, they were rather offended about that. All the Philistines came up to seek David, of course, not to confirm him, but rather to openly oppose his stewardship. And David heard of it, and he departed from Jerusalem, and he went down to the hold in the fort. Now the Philistines also came and pitched camp and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, okay, which is the Watcher's Children, to reclaim their land and to control and to mock David, the valley of Rephaim. Okay, now David inquired the Lord, saying this, okay, I mean, what God revealed was in direct opposition to what the fallen watchers revealed. What the fallen watchers revealed and made promises to their children, okay, was in direct contradiction to what God revealed and made promises to his children, as to Abraham. So David inquired, and he says, shall I go up to the Philistines? Okay, and upon that arrival, will you also deliver my hand, okay, under my stewardship? And Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines in your hand. Be strong and of faith. This is to fulfill my will towards you. That's what God is saying to David. Now David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said here, the Lord has broken forth upon my enemies before me as a breach of waters. Now, I like the word waters there. Breach of waters. Okay, and this is what the revelation of God's grace to us today is, the breach in these waters. Okay, in other words, okay, we are pulling down Satan's strongholds, which has to do with knowledge holds. Okay, strongholds are knowledge holds. Okay, fortresses of false knowledge, God is tearing them down by the sword of the second eighth week. Okay, so we see here in verse 20, see, the spirit was the axe that removed the trees, which were trees of poisonous fruit. The axe is laid to the root of the tree, as Jesus said. So the Lord has broken forth upon my enemies before me. That's my stewardship as Moses. Okay, Moses was a breach to Pharaoh. And Moses' presence put an open breach in the Red Sea. God made a way in the waters, okay, by the fire. Okay, we see fire and water together there. Okay, so the Lord has broken forth upon my enemies before me as a breach of waters. Therefore, David, dear, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim, which means as a repeat of history. And there they, the Philistines being protesters, they left their false tokens, their images. Now David ordered his soldiers, of course, to bundle their idols and to burn them to show abhorrence toward this false knowledge. So the Philistines, when they departed, left so quickly that they left all their idols behind, and David and his men burned them. Now that was an open insult against the Philistines, against their idols, against Dagon, okay, all their philosophies. Now the Philistines were enraged by this open rebuke. And the Philistines, being enraged in this, desired to punish David for his so-called blasphemy against their gods. So the Philistines again came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, that is to oppose David's stewardship by homestead, okay, in the land which God promised to Abraham by covenant. Now when David inquired of the Lord again communicated to him, and he said, you shall not go up. That means, hey, I'm going to offer you a different tactic here. You shall not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come up over against them, against the mulberry trees, for they expect you to approach them from the same direction again. Okay, and let it be. Now, this is going to be the sign. Now, the sign is going to be the strange phenomena in the sky again. But the strange phenomena in the sky is going to confuse the Philistines, but not the stewardship. And this is what God is doing today. The strange sounds in the sky confuse the sinners, but not the saints. Now let it be when you hear the sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees. It can be signs of traffic or sounds of traffic moving about, okay, in the mulberry trees. That then at this point, this is a sign to you. It's going to be a sign of the Philistines' destruction, but a sign of blessing for the righteous. Okay, then that you shall bestir yourself. This is your mobility. For then shall the Lord go out before you to smite the host of the Philistines. So the voice of the Lord was heard in the wind. And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until you come to Gezer. Okay, which means these are the marks, okay, or the landmarks there, the marks of ownership. Okay, the marks of ownership of the land by blood. Okay, and Jesus shed his blood for what? For the whole world. Okay, because the world is God's. God shed his blood for it, and God's going to take ownership of it. And not only that, but he's going to make a new heavens, new earth. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Let's get your sacrifices ready here. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, but we're going to start around verse 33. We're going to have some fun here. Okay, as we see, an alternation is being introduced to the law of Moses. Okay, now, when Jesus was speaking of another law, which is law of his Father, law of grace, it was a transgression to that which was previously given by the revelation which God spoke to Moses. Okay, the revelation which God spoke to Moses was no longer valid, okay, as that of the Jebusites. That which of the Jebusites, which is granted to them by promise, was now reversed by the anointing on David, and we can see the reversing of the law of Moses by the anointing upon Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, and God, and that which God established there for the last 2,000 years is changing again to the second eighth week. Okay, it's changing again by the anointing, by the angel of the Lord, which is working with the stewardship. Okay, there's a changing of direction from the independent ministry to that which is of one house. Okay, this is difficult for those which are carnal-minded and ignorant. It's very difficult for them to understand, okay, that they can't pursue it outside of the house of God. Okay, if they pursue these things outside of the house of God, they are defiled. Even if they speak in tongues, okay, the sacrifice, even the sacrifices of charity or speaking tongues is defiled because it's not joined to that which God has sanctified. If you offer a sacrifice on an idol or on an altar of, on a hill after the revelation of Moses, it was considered as unclean. Okay, and this is when Jesus engaged the woman at the well. When Jesus engaged the woman at the well, he says, "You sacrifice unto that which you know not." In other words, you're offering the blood of these animals to atone for your sin, and by the shedding of that blood, you're actually bringing condemnation on yourself. Okay, because it's outside the covenant. Again, you have heard that it's been said by them of old time. Now highlight the word. You can highlight these things here in chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 33. That's where we're beginning. This is what the law dictated to the conscience. Okay, the law dictated to the conscience not to project outcome by self-denial, okay, which has to do with flagellations, okay, which is substitutionism, okay, but rather by the atonement or the sacrifice of an animal which God sanctified. So you have heard that of old time, which means I'm going to say something else to you, he says. You should not forswear yourself. That's to project outcome by self-denial. It's just flagellation. But shall perform unto the Lord your oaths, which you means, in other words, he's saying, but you shall keep mindful in practice, okay, that which the Lord has spoken, okay, unto the Lord your oaths. Your oath is words to seal an activity. You made an oath to seal an activity, okay, and this activity which we have forsworn, okay, is not for the purpose of projecting outcome. But I say unto you, see now, see, he says, I say unto you, I'm giving you a new law. Okay, I'm giving you a new law. To that which God issues to the stewardship is to give direction and wisdom to the saints. A new law. Okay, because I'm the Lord of your conscience. Okay, but Moses gave the law to dictate to your conscience. But now I say unto you, because I am the Lord of your conscience. Okay, I don't want you to swear or to make vows of flagellation to include my powers you cannot vouchsafe to perform. So, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, because I am the oath of purity and power for your atonement. This is what Jesus is saying to them. So I'll say that again. But I say unto you, because I'm the Lord of your conscience, swear not at all, That means don't make vows of flagellation to include my powers, which you cannot vouchsafe to perform. Okay, so that's what he says. Swear not all, neither by the heaven, for it is God's throne. Because God's throne is a place of purity and power for your atonement. And then he goes on, verse 35, neither by the earth, because my plan in these waters are not for your boasting. So neither by the earth, for it is his footstool. For they, as an enemy, are to be subdued by this power of the throne. Neither by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem. So how did the word Jerusalem there? Remember, that's the city of the great king. This is what David received by the Spirit which is upon him to be the hub and the light of the world. Okay, neither by Jerusalem, because I will give tokens for your refuge, okay, through my stewardship. I'm removing it from the city to myself. So he goes on here, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Because David was a light for all the tribes here, which I exalted as a torch upon a hill to draw all to me through David, and now I'm drawing all to me by my personal presence. Verse 36, neither shall you swear by your head, which means your own soul is not to be used as a bartering token, and that is for your own record is not perfect. Okay? Your own record is not perfect, so how can you swear by your own head? Neither shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. You cannot change your record to be equal to mine. Verse 37, but let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Okay, that is, and let your confidence of talk be either for faith or not. For whatsoever is more than these comes of evil. Okay, because when you include the world's philosophy, you're going to defile my faith. Okay, these things are evil. And Satan, who rules the double-minded and the doubtful, by these philosophies. You can't mix the philosophy of the world with Christ. So he says here, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Right? Let's go on here in verse 38. As you get your sacrifices ready. For you have heard that it has been said, which means, for the law I gave is to enforce the equity of society under Moses. Okay, the law that I gave is to enforce the equity of society. So if you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But now Jesus says in verse 39, notice he says it again, but I say unto you, so you see the same thing in verse 34, but I say unto you, okay, when he says, but I say unto you, he's speaking by the anointing. Okay, he said, Moses spoke to you something that was 1,500 years ago. Okay, but now I say unto you, I'm going to bring a change in direction. Okay, from a location of this earth to that which is of heaven. But I say unto you, but now I'm the law of your conscience. So, but I say unto you, okay, that you resist not evil. That you're not to use your principle to correct Adam's inequities any longer. This is what they're trying to do now. The false religious system is trying to do that right now. They're trying to correct the inequities of the society by their own form of gospel or their own form of Christianity. Okay, and by doing that, they profane the name of God. They're taking that which is holy and using it for their own aspiration. Okay, and by using it for their own aspiration, they're even fasting and praying, which is flagellations, and we just read that you are not to do that because you can't change anything from white to black. Okay, you cannot change anything by your flagellation. Okay, you're to walk according to the revelation of my covenant. But the false religious system is still trying to bring equity to this world. Okay, and sinners are also trying to do the same. So you can see that the false religious system, the false gospel, okay, is in flow with the spirit of Antichrist, as is the world. And they will anoint their king, the beast, in due time, to show that the world indeed lies in wickedness, as the Apostle John said. But so Jesus said, but I say unto you, because I'm the law of your conscience, that you resist not evil. That means not to use the principle to correct Adam's inequities. But whosoever shall smite you in the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Okay, so he says, I want you to put down your sword. You can't by force of will, okay, do these things. You must put down your sword now under my law and live by my holiness. But whosoever shall smite you in the right cheek, turn to him the other also. This is what Jesus is saying to here. Then he says, by the law of the principle, sinners will oppress each other. And if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, which is a covering for payment, you shall add kindness to remove the strokes of your injury. So if any man will sue unto you at the law and take away your cloak, let him have your cloak also. Because sinners, they seek closure in these extremes. That's what Jesus is saying. Sinners seek closure in these extremes. For whosoever compel you to go a mile, go with them too. Okay, not as Moses' law, but by my law of grace. Because I'm teaching you long-suffering. Okay, Jesus is teaching his disciples long-suffering. Okay, and this is remove the fear of loss. Because give to him that asks of you. That's what Jesus is teaching them here. Under the law of Moses, okay, they use prosperity as a token of God's blessing. But that is not so in this covenant. Prosperity is not a token of one's worthiness. Jesus Christ is a token of our worthiness. Okay, know you not that the poor are rich in faith, as James, Chief Elder James, brings to attention the church. Because they were still using the law of Moses as a token standard and scale of their own self-worthiness. Okay, and the false religious system is doing the same thing, which is blasphemy. It's blasphemy because it's a direct opposition. Okay, it's direct opposition to the standard of God. The standard of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a scale of holiness. Okay, and everything is measured to his holiness. Okay, because we are to be holy as God is holy. Now that is impossible in the record of one's own soul, but not impossible with the record of God. Okay, so give them the ask of you, and from him that would borrow from you, turn not you away. Okay, so we're not living here to plunder our neighbor as David did by the sword of the covenant. David plundered by the sword of that covenant to expand the borders of Israel. Okay, but this is not so now. Now during the millennium, okay, when we establish the beginning of the millennium, we proceed to conquer the world by the sword of the Lord. Okay, by the sword of the Lord. And the world is going to be, again, as the Garden of Eden before us, but behind us it'll be nothing but kindling embers and smoking villages. The world itself will be purified by fire, and that the fire is us, the holy ones. We are the fire of the Lord. Okay, and when God speaks that breath of his mouth as he breathed on his apostles, when he says, be you filled, and when Jesus breathes with the breath of his mouth, fire proceeds out and everything will be consumed in this dimension, which is not of his kingdom, not of God's kingdom. It will be consumed by fire, and we are that fire. We establish the word of the Lord in this earth as the waters cover the sea, as the prophet said.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with you all. Amen.